Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You are listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan. All right, we got a lot to get into in this 5 o'clock hour. Hopefully you guys had a great day. I don't know about you, but my plan is to continue to enjoy this warm, great weather that we are having for as long as we have it. Because coming up very, very soon, like, you are going to blink and you're going to wake up. And you're going to be in hoodies, and it's going to be cold to go outside, and you're going to go outside, and you're going to see your breath, and it's going to be frost on the ground, and it's going to be miserable. You and I both know it. It's going to be miserable. So go enjoy it outside. Why don't you go have a nice dinner with your lady out on a patio? Have drinks out with the patio today. Why don't you go outside and throw the ball around with the kids? Enjoy this warm weather, Rob, for as much as we have it. Even if that means you're sitting outside watching your favorite college football team lose on Saturdays like you did this past week, you still got to enjoy it in the beautiful weather. It could be worse. It could be cold and you watching them lose. You've plenty of sat out there plenty of Saturdays in Lawrence and watched your team lose. At least it was warm. Think on the bright side. Be positive. That's what I am. This week, I have been nothing but positive. You know what? There's a lot of comparisons and a lot of similarities between Kansas football and the Royals. This is why. Yesterday, I remember asking you, what do KU fans think their program should be? If I'm looking at the history of Kansas football, what do fans expect? What are realistic expectations? Now, the Royals, at least if you're my age, I am under 40. If you are around my age, you have not seen a whole lot of winning baseball in your life. In fact, the Royals have had 6 winning seasons over the last 25 years. Now, when they won, boy, did they win. And it was great when they were winning. But outside of that, the Royals have not really been that great. And every once in a while, they pop up with a 2003 or a, what was that, 2011. They'll pop up with some random years like that. Or a year like they just had where the Royals won 82 games and at least had you paying attention in September. You might laugh at me for saying this, but it is factually accurate. This is a golden era of Royals baseball. They made the postseason last year. They won a postseason series. They played games at Kauffman. They followed it up the next season with the winning record. They don't have too many years like that in our life. So why don't we just sit back and enjoy it just a little bit? Yes, the Royals could be doing better, but we can at least acknowledge, man, it's been a lot worse than that. Recently, it's been a lot worse than what it was this past season. Now, the Royals are in, I would say, the next step. They were really bad. I mean, real bad. And they turned things around, and now they've gotten good. They're a good baseball team. Now, I think we are all trying to figure out how the Royals go from being a good team to potentially being a great team. And that is equally as hard as going from being bad to good. now going from good to great. Now, some of that is going to require a little bit of luck. You got to hit in the draft. You got to overwhelmingly win a trade like you did with Cole Reagans. Those kind of things. Luck, scouting, a little hard work and ingenuity. The other thing comes down to money. And you got to be willing to spend money. To continue the college football analogy, yes, having facilities is great. Yes, having great education, all of those things. But we all know the direct pipeline to being good in college football is how much money you're willing to spend to be good at it. It's always been that way. With the Royals, how much money are you willing to spend? How much are you looking to add to the payroll to put together a quality team? Or you better just hit on a lot of things on at a short period of time. Back in 2014 and 2015, the Royals were the guy that sat down at the roulette table and everything they did just worked. Everything. They were just in a zone, like Billy Hoyle from White Men Can't Jump. They were just in a zone. 2014, 2015, every decision, everything they did worked. You either got to get red hot like that, or you got to cut the class a little bit. You got to cut the line a little bit, and you got to spend the money. So it is obvious what the Royals' problem is heading into the 2026 season. Left field and right field. I don't think they have the immediate answer right now in their facility. They don't have it in AAA, AA, single A, whatever A. They don't have it. They're going to have to spend money outside the organization to add a left fielder and a right fielder that can help them from next season. This is always the conversation with the Kansas City Royals. J.J. Pecola was asked about this. This is what he said.
Yeah, I think when you look at some of the free agents to be, I mean, there's going to be some heavy price tags out there, and the supply and demand may not match up, which makes it a little bit more difficult to meet those asking prices. So we do have to think about all avenues, which the next one would be trade. You know, we do have to think about that. And I like to think we haven't shown like an unwillingness to do that. I think we've made some moves along the way that have helped us. So that is an avenue we have to explore. I think once we get into the offseason, dust settles early November, we'll have a more clear picture of what other teams may be doing and who they may be willing to trade. If it's not there, then you dive into free agency again and try to figure out how you can make your team marginally better if it's not a big name. So we just have to explore all of those different ways to make the team better.
I'm going to point to three things that the Royals can do to be better in 2026. I'm going to give you numbers and data. The Royals, in terms of left field, this is the production that they got from left field. Their left fielders hit .224 with a .291 on-base percentage and slugged .348 in left field. In right field, their right fielder this season combined to hit .197 with a .272 on-base percentage. Their DH, not a whole lot better. Their DH this season, .205, .279 on-base percentage with a .336 slugging percentage. The Royals did not get a lot from left field, right field, and DH, and those are traditionally positions in which you are expecting to drive in runs, and that's where your big boppers in the lineup are supposed to be. The Royals didn't have that. Now the Royals feel like Jack Caglione can be one of those individuals, and that is a fine thought to have. They cannot sell me. Maybe they can sell you this. I'm just telling, I can only speak for me. I can only give you my opinion. They are not selling me this offseason that with a little bit of time and coaching, that their only fix to the offense is Jack Caglione turn things around. Not at 23 and not... That kid seems like he's maybe a little further off than they thought he was going to be, and that's fine. He's 23 years old. We got time to figure it out with Jack Caglione. But what they need to do is cobble some money together. I don't care what you need to do, a trade, however you need to do it. But if the Royals don't make a significant improvement at left field, right field, and designated hitter, they are going to be in the exact same situation. A team that can pitch, a team that has a capable bullpen, but the margin for error with your offense is so razor thin because of the holes that you have in their lineup. Now, I think one encouraging thing from the Royals is the second half of the season, their offense was good. Now, their offense wasn't good during the stretch where they really needed the offense to be good. There was a 10-day stretch there where, man, the Royals just really needed their offense, and their offense let them down, and that essentially ended their season. But that's the season-long numbers. It is hard to carry around 224, 197, and 205 from guys that play every single day with minimal pop and positions that just don't drive in runs for you. That just don't drive in runs for you. And that is a major reason of how the Royals found themselves on the outside looking in when it came to the postseason. So at least for me, if the Royals are saying that they have all the solutions in-house, they don't. We saw that during the season. They didn't have it. They tried everything they could to get the outfield going. None of it worked. All right, so you don't have the solution. You got to go find that solution outside the organization if you're going to make the postseason next year.
I feel like the Royals are in, to your point about it being golden era, I hope the Royals are in a good spot, but also a bad spot all at the same time. And we'll talk about Jack Caglione here in a minute. But the Royals are in a good spot because they really only have one problem, and it's the offense. Like, there have been a lot of times in our life in Royals baseball, it's like, you got to get X, Y, and Z done. No, if they get X done this offseason, there's no reason they can't be competing with the Guardians for a division title. We all know what the what is. It's the outfield. Corner outfield. That's the good news. We can identify the problem. They don't have five or six problems. They're not, you know, taking on water five or six different ways. It's one problem. Here's the bad news. It's not an exactly easy and cheap position to fill. Like, the text line has some ideas. Go get Kyle Schwarber. Go get this guy. Yeah, the Royals aren't doling out $150 million contracts out there. So they have to do what they do every offseason. They have to be smart. They have to be prudent. They have to make the right decision in these outfield positions. But it cannot be May and me and you are saying, hey, it's a lot of the same as last year because the results will end the same. And I know that, hey, a lot of people applaud the Royals. Hey, they stayed relevant all the way to football season. They were in the race and they tapped their head. Good job, Royals. That's not going to be acceptable for a second year in a row. You were a playoff team. You took a step back. That's fine. It's time to now take a step forward and address one of those issues, and you have to hit in the way you address it and then take a step forward. I should be right now watching Red Sox and Yankees back here. They should be, maybe not this game in prime time, but they should be in one of these games, or in a perfect world, you have the first round off, and you have Bobby Witt, you have Vinny Pasquantino, and you have the pitching to do that. Go address the two major flaws.
I'll play this next audio cut. At least for me, the Royals can't have the same plan that the Chiefs had. The Chiefs had a clear plan. The Chiefs was, we are in a very good spot. We're going to bring back a majority of our guys from last year. We're going to bring back Kareem Hunt. We're going to bring back Juju. We're going to bring back Hollywood. We're going to bring back all of the names that you know. And we got Mahomes and Reed, and we can make the best of it. The Royals ain't got that. So, no, I don't want the Royals to have the, well, we have all the solutions in-house. We expect production. No, that is not the plan that they need to have. That starts with Jack Caglione. I don't want you guys to take this like I'm down on Jack Caglione. I'm not. He is a 22-year-older who has played less than 50 games in the major leagues. It is impossible to be down on where he is. But they kind of sold it based on how quickly he came up through the minors that he could instantly step in and help. We saw that was not the case. So they are in a little bit of a weird situation where I don't think they want to send him down to AAA. I also don't know if he's good enough to be on the Royals in 2026. Here's J.J. Piccolo.
We brought Cags up this year, you know, expected to get a boost there. You know, he was killing AAA, you know, doing everything he needed to do as a player to get that promotion. And the next step for him was to be in the major leagues. It didn't go as we would have liked it to have gone. But we got to remind ourselves he's one of the best players in baseball. He was probably on his way to being minor league player of the year. There's a strong belief that he's going to be an outstanding major league player. The difficult thing with Cags right now is that he's beat AAA. I mean, even when he went back after his injury, he didn't miss a beat. He's beat AAA. So he's going to have to do a lot of his learning in the major leagues, but it doesn't take away from the upside, the talent, and what he's going to do. That being said, there's going to be competition. You know, we do feel like we're in a window to win with the players that we have in place. So the expectations are high. Our standards are high. So it's not going to be anything, a job that's given to him. He's going to have to earn it. But it doesn't take away from what we believe in him as a player.
I mean, he didn't play well enough to be given a position. Just, he didn't. Now, again, I don't want anyone to take this like I'm down on Jack Caglione, that he needs to be traded. None of that. He is 22 years old. He'll be 23 years old next season. but I do feel like they're a little bit stuck. It doesn't sound like they want him to get a lot more experience down in AAA, even though he's played less than a month of games in AAA. He's played 28 games. They don't think that AAA can help him. Well, when he was in the big league club, he hit 150 and didn't get on base and didn't really hit for a whole lot of power. So if you don't think he can help the Storm Chasers, and last year he couldn't really help the Royals, what do you do for this season? That's why I say the Royals cannot sell me on running back, not with the same offensive pieces. They cannot sell me on running back plus Jack Caglione is going to be better next year. You can't sell me on that. So the Royals need to be at some point in November and December. We need a breaking news sounder that the Royals have made a trade and they went out there to go get an impact bat. They're bringing Jack Caglione along. He's going to pinch hit. He's going to do this, and they're bringing him along slowly. You could sell me on that plan for next year. Last thing I want to play, and I do want to talk about football in the 5 o'clock hour. Here is JJ Piccolo. Now, this might be the part that makes you a little bit mad. I'm sure at some point this season you were frustrated with the offense for very good reason. They're bringing everybody back.
Most of our staff's going to be coming back. We've got to make some decisions on the hitting side. What I will say is Alec Zumwalt's going to be our hitting coach. How do we support Alec in a way that allows him to have the most success with the roster that we have? Those decisions haven't been made yet, and we still have to work through that. It might just be tweaking our staff. How do we tweak the staff? What don't we have? What can we do from an analyst standpoint, from a holistic standpoint, to try to help our offense improve. We have a lot of belief in what Alec has done in the minor leagues and how he's led the minor league department now in the major leagues. Guys have gotten better. You know, there are guys that have improved. I mentioned the four guys, and I don't think we can ignore that.
Okay. I don't have an opinion. That's not the decision that I would have made in bringing back their hitting coach and bringing back everybody else, but that is the decision that the Royals have made. Okay, if you're going to keep all those things the same, then the talent on the field needs to change. So we will put a pin in this conversation. We'll come back to it. The offseason has just started. Let's enjoy the postseason. Let's enjoy football season. We'll keep an ear to the hot stove. We'll see what the Royals are doing. But at some point, Rob, I certainly hope that in the next 3 months, we're in the middle of having a football conversation. You hit the breaking news sounder and you tell me the Royals have made a significant trade to try to improve their offense. They've got a couple of starting pitchers that maybe they could move one of them and try to go get you a bat that can help you. I mean, you're probably going to, if you're not willing to spend the money, you probably got to trade something that you really, really like to go get something that you desperately need. And right now it feels like they have a slight surplus when it comes to starting pitching. Well, you got to take some of that starting pitching and you got to get you a 27, 28-year-old outfielder that you think can help you in the lineup.
Or at least you got to find, the hidden value. I'm not saying don't make a trade. I'm pro team make a trade. I think they made a trade last year that at the time I thought would work. India for Singer did not. I don't mind keep taking swings like that. But it can't be, hey, we made a trade. You got to throw numbers at this thing. Maybe that means you make a savvy, hey, here's a guy who's been toiling away in AAA, but we think he's a major leaguer, but he just blocked and he's a free agent out of the, Padres organization. You make a trade for an outfielder and then you sign like a platoon type of guy. Like, I don't want to hit the breaking news sounder just the one time this offseason. The problem is so big, they need to throw numbers at the problem, which means there should be days we say, I can't believe they did X. Is that enough? But it's part of a larger plan. It can't be like it was last year with Melendez and left. That's our plan going forward.
All right, Rob, let's get to the hits. Hit the button.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home, and now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Karen Hazard's hits are brought to you by Baker University. Regrets earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu.
Rob, we haven't argued about this yet, and I'm a little surprised that we haven't argued about this yet. Are we all on the same page that if Tyreek Hill never plays another down of football, he goes into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Yes,
are there
but
people
not first
that are
ballot.
Arguing that I want to make sure, because I don't think that there should be an argument about Tyreek Hill. Like, you know me, the YouTube test, the Wikipedia test, there's no question Tyreek Hill passes the YouTube test. The Wikipedia test, when you go to awards and highlights, he was on a Super Bowl winning team and had a pretty monumental play in that Super Bowl. 5 times he has been on first team All-Pro. He has been on second team All-Pro. He is an 8-time Pro Bowler. He led the NFL in receiving touchdowns and receiving yards one season. He is also on the All-Decade team in the 2010s. Now, I understand if you don't like Tyreek Hill for personal reasons. There are a lot of reasons to not like Tyreek Hill, the person. Tyreek Hill, the football player, is one of the best wide receivers that we have ever seen. He also passes the peak test. The best version of Tyreek Hill is better than the best version of a lot of these other wide receivers that we debate. We talk a lot about Mike Evans on this show for whatever reason. The best version of Tyreek Hill is better than the best version of Mike Evans. The best version of Tyreek Hill is better than the best version of DeAndre Hopkins. I could take it a step further, guys that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. The best version of Tyreek Hill is better than the best version of Andre Johnson, who just got into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So it is not a question to me. I just want to make sure that we're all on the same page. We don't got to spend days arguing about this. If Tyreek Hill never plays another down of football, he should go to Canton, Ohio, as one of the best receivers that we have ever seen.
You know what's weird to me? And by the way, he is a Hall of Famer. I'm not going to argue with it at all. You know what's weird? That list of accomplishments? Was he never All-Decade team?
He was in 2010.
Okay, I was like,
was in 2010.
I'm like, that part, I just didn't.
I think he was for like a special teams guy, not for a receiver. He doesn't have enough time at that point.
I mean, with the accomplishments he's laid out, he is going to make the Hall of Fame. I was astonished to hear he's not an All-Decade. I mean, he'll be the All-Decade guy in the 2020s, but that might be how it works out. But outside of that, surprise.
I don't know if he's going to make the All-Decade team in the 2020s. I mean, I think he'll come really close, but I mean, he really just had 3 great years in 2020 through 2023.
I mean, that's half of the 2020s, basically.
Right, but I mean, I guess Justin Jefferson's going to make, I mean, this is just a golden era of wide receivers. Like, Justin Jefferson seems like he's going to be first team All-Decade. Jamar Chase seems like he's got a really strong argument for being there. Like, Tyreek might be in the conversation. Think about it. We're halfway done with the decade. There's a lot of really good wide receivers in the National Football League.
So outside of the Hall of Fame conversation, which I'm happy you're on the same page. I'm happy the text line's on the same page. I remember we talked about Tyreek Hill a few months ago, and the idea was like, he'll make the Pro Football Hall of Fame, but not the Chiefs one. And that was just a mind-numbing day. Do you think that last night was possibly the end of Tyreek Hill's career as that guy?
Yes, like, I do.
I think he might come back to a football field, but I don't think he's ever going to be the guy accomplishment-wise you just laid out.
Yeah, I think the cheetah ended yesterday. I think it ended. He's in year 10 of his career, his first real significant injury. I mean, Tyreek, for the most part, actually at his size, has been fairly durable. I mean, Tyreek is 5'10 and weighs less than 200 pounds. He's been very, very durable, very, very productive. His peak, as we talked about, is as strong as anybody's. I mean, 2 seasons ago, Tyreek Hill had 120 catches for 1,800 yards and 13 touchdowns. Like, that stretch of 4 or 5 years for Tyreek is strong. In 2018, you would say the best version of Mahomes. 87 catches, 1,500 yards, and 12 touchdowns. And you could argue he wasn't even the number one option on the team. Like, the best version of Tyreek is a dog. But yeah, that Tyreek is over. Let's say that even you believe what his agent came out today and said, that he's going to play week 1 of 2026. So he's 32 years old. He's on a different team. Are you investing very heavily in Tyreek Hill next season coming off this injury?
No, I wouldn't. So much of his game is speed. And with that injury, I don't have a list of players who have. I mean, I know we played with Dr. Chow said earlier in the show. He mentioned Nick Chubb, who's been fine for the Texans. Like, I don't know a guy whose whole game is speed going to go through that injury, and I'm going to be like, let me invest around Tyreek Hill anymore. That doesn't feel like a winning formula.
Yeah, I feel like, you know what, Tyreek, I think the comparison is, it feels like he's going to be like what Odell Beckham was for those last couple years he was in the league. Remember when Odell Beckham joined the Rams?
So you're talking post-Rams?
Yeah, because around that time where he was just like, hey, he went to the Rams, they had Cooper Kupp, they had these other options. Hey, we're just asking you to come in here and just be a guy that can make a couple of plays that can turn the balance of a game. That's what it feels like Tyreek is going to be. And, I mean, it makes sense. You're in your 12th, 11th year as an NFL receiver coming off your first really significant injury. You're going to lose speed. You're going to lose those things. It wasn't just the flatline speed with him. Like, he turned himself into one of the best route runners in the league. Like, it wasn't just a burner deep down the field guy. That's all he could do. No, he could beat you in the intermediate game. He could beat you in the run game. Like, the best version of Tyreek Hill is one of the best playmakers in the league. There are very few players, even now in the NFL, that you think they can touch, like they could score every time they touch the ball. That's who Tyreek Hill was at his prime. He could touch the ball. You had to worry about him at all phases. He was a dominant, dominant player in his heyday, and it felt like yesterday on Monday Night Football, felt like that was the end. I don't think we see that version of Tyreek Hill again. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens. They are in a danger zone. That's coming up. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I really want to know what you guys think. 913-586-7965. I can provide the proof that today, once the Lamar Jackson news came out, I placed a wager. I don't think the Ravens are making the postseason. So this was the tweet, and this is from the Baltimore Sun. Lamar Jackson unlikely to play week 5, could miss 2 to 3 weeks. The Ravens have a playoff game in week 5 of the NFL season. The Ravens are 1-3 right now, and they host the Houston Texans. Now, Houston is just as disappointing as they've been. They have 3 consecutive home games. They have Houston at home. They have the Rams at home. They also have the Bears. Now, I would feel more optimistic about Baltimore, and a lot of it is tied in directly to the injuries, but if they could get stops, they can't get off the field. And if you can't get off the field, then every game is a coin flip. Now, maybe that is just you have played elite-level quarterbacks. I mean, Buffalo scored 41 against you. The Lions scored 38 against you. The Chiefs scored 37 and had their best offensive game in 2 years on you. That is not what Houston is, we believe. That is what the Rams could possibly be. And the Bears, they certainly got enough offensive pieces to really make life difficult for you if necessary. I've made this point this week. I think that the Ravens are this year's version of the San Francisco 49ers. I think it's just one of those years that everything that could go wrong is going wrong for the Baltimore Ravens. Think about their team right now. Just the say it out loud test. Their quarterback could potentially not play this week. Their running back is in a slump. He has rushed for less than 60 yards in three consecutive games. That sounds like a slump to me. Their left tackle is injured. You then fast forward to the defensive side. You don't have your best pass rusher. You don't have your best linebacker. Your number one corner is out with an injury. Those things over time just start to add up, and it's really, really difficult to beat teams anyway. It's even harder when it feels like you are having a fight with one arm tied behind your back. So I am out on the Ravens right now. Maybe I end up looking silly and I end up losing my bet. The game is the game. That's why they call it gambling. But Rob, at least for me, talking about this team, I don't feel good in the Ravens. I think that the AFC is maybe a little bit more competitive than you think that it is. So let's just assume. Let's assume. Either the Chiefs or the Chargers are going to win the AFC West. One of those two teams, right? Feels like a safe assumption. The other team, to me, sounds like they're going to be a wild card team. I would say that one of those wild card teams is now locked up between either the Chiefs or the Chargers. If you look at the AFC South, you didn't think that you were possibly going to have to contend with two teams in the AFC South. But right now, the Colts are 3-1 and Jacksonville is 3-1. So the Ravens, they're two games back of two teams in the AFC South. You then look at the Broncos. The Broncos have played better than they have so far this season. The Patriots, who have been up and down, they've been really inconsistent. I also feel like everybody is just resigned to the fact that the Steelers are going to crumble in the second half of the season. What if they don't crumble in the second half of the season? I just don't think that the AFC and the playoff spots are maybe as unaccounted for as everybody else thinks. I think we got a really good idea of who's good in the AFC, and I'm not really sure if the Ravens have done much to prove to us, Rob, that they're a good team.
Here's what's funny about this conversation. I hearken back to a conversation we had this summer. Remember we were doing the exercise of, you know, if you could guarantee blank amount of playoff teams, you get this amount of money, but if you lose, you don't get that amount of money.
Yep.
I would bet the average person would have had Baltimore in there. They are a playoff team conversation. I remember we said, like, how many teams can you bet on? I'm betting the average fan, if they remember that segment, said, ooh, Baltimore is probably in that yes category.
And you remember, I did not pick Baltimore. All I put was the Chiefs and the Bills in this conversation.
I put the Chiefs, Bills, and Texans, so I'd be losing my money in this point right now. And I think me being wrong, the average person putting Baltimore in there and looking like they're wrong, shows the volatility of the league, and there's always one. Your Niners analogy is perfect. I mean, some of the text line earlier used the Harbaugh, Andy Reid of Philadelphia conversation. I'm betting people in Philly in the final year Andy Reid didn't think, we're about to bottom out, go 4-12, and not make the playoffs. Like, you never see it coming. And right now, it is happening to Baltimore. And the question is, as someone who is not financially invested in this the way you are, is that can their leadership that we thought for a long time was some of the best in the NFL, Harbaugh, Lamar, that defense, like the hard nose, can that leadership, you know, get better, get stronger, and build themselves back to being a playoff team? Similar to how the Chiefs did in 2015, I believe, when they started 1-5. You trusted Andy Reid, they were going to get this thing turned around. John Harbaugh would be one of the guys you probably trust to get it turned around. Can they do it? Because if they can't in the next couple weeks, this thing could get ugly, ugly out in Baltimore, and it could be exactly what you said yesterday. It could be what Andy Reid ended in Philly like.
Yeah, that's just the comparison that makes a lot of sense, at least to me. It just feels like, man, this Ravens team, it doesn't feel like they have it. I'm just not entirely sure that all of the things necessary are going to come together for this team. I want to play this for you guys. So earlier today, if you missed it, check out the podcast page. We played for better or worse. Now that we've seen a month of Chiefs games, what's something that's better than you thought it was going to be? What's something that's worse than you thought it was going to be? We've talked about the run game so far a lot in the first month of the season. We asked Mitch Holtis about it. One thing that I was really encouraged about by what we saw on Sunday was their use of Bashard Smith, and I want to see him more involved in the offense.
I mentioned last week the most exciting thing, one of the most exciting things offensively about the Giants game was what? It was the side-to-side jet sweep, end-around, flip pass motion. And whether that person gets the ball or not, it changes everything. And Breshard Smith did that, even though he didn't put up numbers in the game against the Giants. He still had that threat. The jet sweep is gigantic for this offense. So that action, right? It can be a bunch of different things. Now you put Xavier Worthy in, who's got a WR by his name, but it's no joke. He's the leading rusher yesterday because an end around goes for 35 yards. Your assertion, I agree with, is everybody's got a role now, but Xavier Worthy almost is a slash with an RB in this discussion, and then I'll take Breshard Smith and RB and make it a WR slash, and that becomes a real weapon, especially if you got a short yardage guy that can pick it up like Kareem Hunt. So the fact that Worthy is back and he becomes a compliment, you got three guys now on the 4x100-meter relay team if you throw in Thornton, okay? And then you can put Hollywood Brown in there, and Rice is coming. So now all of a sudden you put real pressure on a defense, but it's predicated on the side-to-side motion of a jet sweep, flip pass, end-around that can be an explosive run or a simulator run.
That was Mitch Holtz's voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. We talked about it earlier. I really want to see more Breshard Smith in this offense. That's my two big takeaways, I guess three, the defense. I don't want to discount the defense and what they've done and how they performed these last 3 weeks. The defense utilized Breshard Smith, and there was a noticeable difference in what this offense looks like with just having Xavier Worthy versus not having him. The Rashee Rice thing, he wasn't going to be here anyway. He's suspended. That is a self-inflicted injury in this context. You were anticipating having Xavier Worthy in your offense. It was noticeable. He led them in rushing and receiving. That, to me, is going to have to be one of the ways. Like, if the Chiefs are not going to be a team that goes out and makes a trade to go acquire another running back, how do you find some pop? How do you get big plays out of the run game? Their biggest play so far this season in the run game came from an end around to Xavier Worthy. That's noticeable. Using Rashee Rice, using the pop passes, using the jet sweeps. I don't know if you have a lot of sizzle in that running back room, but you do in the wide receiver room. Use them like running backs. Use that short game to help you kind of take some of the pressure and alleviate that off Patrick Mahomes. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rob, as we end the show today, we did this with the Chiefs. Why don't we do this in a national football sense? Give me a team that is much better than you had anticipated and a team that is far worse. And let's remove the Ravens from this just because we've been talking about the Ravens a lot, given that the Chiefs played them on Sunday. Jacksonville is that team for me. I wasn't really super high on this Jacksonville team. You could maybe make the argument for either team in the AFC South, whether it's the Colts or Jacksonville. I know there was an expectation that the Texans were going to kind of be in command in that division. That's not really the way that it has played out so far this season. But I'm just looking at those two teams. This Jacksonville team, I mean, I guess out of the two, if you are kind of anticipating that things could kind of come crashing down for a team, it probably far more likely for Jacksonville than I think it is for the Colts just because of the turnover differential. I mean, they forced at least three turnovers in every game. You just can't anticipate doing that over a 17-week sample size. So I'm probably more confident in the Colts looking forward than Jacksonville. But, and we got time to talk about this with the Chiefs playing on Monday night, but like, this is a really big national spot for Jacksonville, where if we look at their organization, they don't have a whole lot of games in their track record of them beating a team like Kansas City on a stage like the one they are going to have on Monday night at home.
So I actually not put the Jags in my they're better than anticipated category, because you'll remember when we had Barber on the show, I had the Jags winning the AFC South. I was a firm believer in the Jags. Now, you're right, and we have – what, 4 days of show to talk about this? Because Wednesday through Friday, plus we'll have a show on Monday before the Chiefs take on the Jags. It does feel like one of those statement type of games. The Jags, like, can show, like, hey, we're real. We have a new coach. He's made our quarterback better. Like, it's a real, you know, emphasis type of game for the Jags. But the team that I think is a lot better than I anticipated, I'll put the Colts to the side, because, like, the Colts just, I think it's the Chargers. Like, I was not buying Charger stock this offseason. I actually felt like the Broncos were the bigger threat in the AFC West, because I felt like their defense was so good. And I felt like the Chargers, I felt like Justin Herbert was a lot of hype and not a lot of sizzle. They had to bring Keenan Allen in last minute because Mike Williams retired. Like, I felt like the Chargers were going to be a 9-8 type of team. And I'm not saying they can't regress that, but they definitely feel like 11-12 win type of team. So early in the season, the team that's better than I anticipated was the Chargers.
Really quick stat on the Jaguars. Their turnover differential right now is +9. +9 through four games. I mean, that explains why you went 3-1. They have 13 takeaways so far. So there's two teams that have double-digit takeaways. Pittsburgh has 10. Jacksonville has 13. Rob, just quick trivia. There's one team in the NFL that hasn't forced a turnover so far. Who do you think it is?
One team has not forced.
There's one a month of playing games.
Dallas.
One team. What's this kid's name?
Jackson.
Jackson. My bad, Jackson. I'm sorry I didn't know your name. I apologize. Jackson, there's one team in the NFL right now that hasn't forced a turnover. Who do you think that it is?
That hasn't?
Yes, one team in the NFL is not forced a turnover.
That's not Dallas?
No, it is not Dallas. They have forced two, actually.
Russell Wilson. It's got to be Russell Wilson. Oh, God. See, now Seattle's too good. Minnesota?
It's the Jets.
Oof.
The Jets are -7 in the turnover differential. -7. That well explains why you're one of the worst teams in the league. Yes, the Jets have not forced a turnover so far this season. So that's something that you're going to just kind of have to keep an eye on. I mean,
I guess the block punt doesn't count as a turnover, but that, I mean, I guess that's different category. Yeah. Block field goal, excuse me.
Yeah, so I just, one thing with the Chiefs, I mean, again, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about it, is just, I mean, Jacksonville has 9 interceptions so far this season. 9. Like, that is a team that is looking to take the ball away from you. How you level the playing field and the talent gap is lose the turnover differential. Jacksonville has won it. That's fueled them to go 3-1 so far to start the season. So that's the team. I mean, the team that's worse than I thought they were going to be, I mean, I feel like most of the culprits are pretty obvious. Baltimore is one of those teams. Houston is one of those teams. Like, Houston's, they're dreadful. They're really bad. I'll give you another one. I thought Carolina was just, the way that they played the second half of the season, I thought Carolina was in a position that they were going to turn things around. They are not turning things around. They feel like an organization that's going to be starting over at the end of the season. They're going to get rid of Bryce Young. They're going to start over a head coach, and they're going to have another soft reset as they get a top 5 pick in next year's NFL draft.
I guess they would count as worse than anyone. Do the Cowboys?
I just didn't think they were going to be terrible again.
Do the Cowboys count this category? I mentioned the Cowboys.
Yeah, they definitely count.
Their defense is, I mean, we just saw the Ravens' defense.
Oh, it's bad.
They're very similar.
It's
the Cowboys are terrible. Now, part of it's because Mike, we made our predictions pre-Micah Parsons, but, I mean, just that team is really bad. If they don't score 40, they lose.
No, there ain't no question. No, they're terrible. There is no question. That team is terrible. Rob, are you into the baseball playoffs at all?
I am. Usually later in, I get more locked in, but I'll keep an eye on tonight's games.
Yeah, I'm going to keep an eye on the games, too. It is so hard to explain how much the pitch clock has just renewed my interest in watching baseball. It just flows so much easier. Attendance has actually gone up every year since the pitch clock has been introduced. Baseball is just, it is a more fun product now, especially playoff games. Remember, those playoff games used to drag. They don't drag anymore. I really enjoy it. I actually won my first playoff bet today. I took the Cubs to win at home against the Padres. We'll be back tomorrow. Patrick Mahomes will not be on the show. He'll be on the show Thursday. They pushed his appearance back one day, so I want to let you guys know that. We'll have a lot of fun instead. Catch you guys later. It's The Drive.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.